Good morning, everyone. Last week, I preached a sermon about independence because it was 4th of July week, and I guess it still is to some degree, or actually, I guess 4th of July week ended yesterday if we wanted to get technical, but I mean, it's still within the same kind of mindset. And last week, we talked a lot about freedom, a lot about the celebrating freedom, protecting our freedom, and so this morning I have an image for you that is probably not the image of freedom that you would expect, probably not the image that that goes with the declaration of our national or our social or political independence. But this morning I want to talk about the fact that while the waving flag is a symbol of freedom, a symbol of democracy, a symbol of capitalism and of prosperity, the American flag waving in the breeze and over Little League ballparks all over this country is probably not the reality, the freedom that goes with that, the independence, the liberty, is probably not the reality that we live under. This is probably more like it. This is probably how we feel most of the time. This is probably what we experience other than this celebrated liberty of the human spirit, liberty of the human condition, freedom of our thoughts and freedom of our expression and freedom of all of these things, we probably feel more restrained than we feel anything. We probably feel more bound than we do. Bound not only by politics and economic issues that are out of our control, but it's my guess, it's my experience that we feel more bound by the issues of humanity that we all experience than anything else. We don't experience freedom from what scares us, and freedom from what worries us, and freedom from what haunts us and chases us as human beings. We feel more bound by those things, bound by health and relationships, bound by social pressures, and unfortunately, we're bound by religious or spiritual requirements that we have come up with to shackle ourselves with. And I think that's probably the most scary of the oppressions that we face, of the restrictions that we have, is when it comes to God. I think we feel the most bound at times. I think that when it comes to our relationship with God and our relationship with the church, we might feel the most chained up than we do anywhere else, because in our business or in our career, a lot of times we feel, I'm free to go here or go there and do whatever I want. If the economy is tanking here, then maybe I want to make a change or an adjustment. But when it comes to our approach or our relationship with God, it is either one way or another, and we feel this experience more so than any other. And I believe it is why there are so few people who are willing to experience a relationship with God these days, is because this is what we offer them. Because this is what we offer. It isn't freedom. Revelation says that Christ, who freed us. Now, my brother Howard read this morning in his New American Standard Version is released us. What I believe is a, not better, but more accurate, English Standard Version. It's the same word, but it can mean freed us from our sin. You see, ultimately we know one thing, that this life doesn't last forever, and that we have this sin that separates us from God. And if we want to live forever with God, then we have to be in a relationship with God. And the problem is that we have this this thing hanging over our head, this sin. And so the grace that God offers us to alleviate the sin problem often feels more like this than it feels like freedom, that Christ freed us from our sin. See, Revelation says He freed us from our sin. Other passages we're going to talk about this morning talk about being freed from our sin. Being freed from the one thing that separates us from God, the one thing that hinders our relationship. And let's just be honest, if we knew in our hearts, if we believed in our minds that we had an ironclad, unshakable relationship with the Creator God, we would feel a whole lot better, wouldn't we? We would feel a whole lot freer. If we believed that God loves us so much so that once He overcame the sin problem, that there was nothing in or outside of this world that would be able to re-overcome us, if we really, really believed that, we wouldn't feel like this. We would feel more like that. That once we had acknowledged God, once we had accepted or entered into, or however you want to phrase it, this relationship, this saving relationship, that God said, I've overcome your sin, and no longer are you bound by the consequences, the effect of, or the reality of your sin. And that is for now and forever, we would be less bound. And this morning, I want to talk about what it's like to live like freed people. Howard read it this morning. Hey, it's not my words, it's Howard's. It's John's. It's God's. God said, Christ freed you from the one thing that will separate you, the one thing that will cause death for eternity is sin, and Jesus Christ has freed you from it, broken the chain that binds us, broken the jail of sin. Let's live like freed people. If you've got your Bibles, turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. It's another exciting passage, not quite as exciting as some when it comes to this sort of thing, but if you look at Galatians 5, it says in verse 1, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. You know why He says that? He says it's to experience freedom, Christ has set you free. Now the setting free part that He's talking about is being freed from sin. Being freed from the consequence of our corruption. Being freed from the consequence, the eternal death of our separation from God. He says, look, Christ has set you free so that now you can experience freedom. And we're going to look at what that looks like. What that feels like. He says it's for freedom. He goes on to say, stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. So you have to ask yourselves one question. If we want to be free, because there's a difference between being free and living free. There's a difference between being freed from sin and for the sake of freedom, being freed from sin. The question is, do you want to feel better about your relationship with God? Do you want to feel less anxiety, less worry, less stress, less a lot of other bad, negative words when it comes to your relationship with God? Do we want to feel, or are we good where we are? Because if you're okay, you know, because if there's two kinds of people. If you're fine where you are and you feel like, no, I've got it all under control, then you don't have to listen to this sermon because it's not going to help you anyway. Because if you're in control of your relationship with God and you're doing everything right and you're accomplishing all that God has called for you to accomplish, and you feel like on the basis of how, what a great person that you are confident to stand before God, I invite you to not listen, because I'm not going to be able to help you. But if there's ever that moment where you realize that I'm not at all in control of this, God is, that I'm not at all able to stand on my own personal goodness. And so I'm going to stand before a holy God, and I know how unholy I am, and that scares me a little bit, then please listen, because the Word of God will speak to your heart this morning, and you'll feel better about a lot of things. You'll feel freer. So how do we? The question is okay, the Bible says that we're free, but we still have these lingering restrictions, these bindings on ourselves. So how do we live like freed people? I mean, because it seems as though we read through Scripture and we go through, and there's all of these requirements that I come up with, is do this and do that, and if you really love me, you'll keep my commandments, and da-da-da-da-da, and all that. How do I live freed, because I have all of these ungodly thoughts and unholy desires and all this? How do I really live free? Free from sin. The first thing I want you to understand is that freed people know they were freed. You see, the crazy thing is that you can't take freedom for granted. You ever known anybody who spent time in prison? I mean, in real, jail or prison? There's a good possibility that they know they were in prison, and they know that they are now not in prison. There's a good chance that they can remember what it was like to be confined and to be incarcerated. And so they were incarcerated, and now they're not. And so they probably act a lot different out than they did in. If we're going to be freed, we've got to know that we were once prisoners. You know, one of the interesting things, Lily went to camp, Neotez, 2 weeks ago? 3 weeks, something like that. It was a long time ago. She's like, I don't know, it was hot. And they were talking about their story. You know, tell us your story of this. And so Lily and a couple of the other preacher's kids that come, they're like, well, okay, I don't really have a story. My story's kind of boring. You know, I was born, went to church, and I've been there ever since. You know, there's other kids that were like, you know, man, I've lived this and I struggle with that. And I, you know, that. And so it's not that their story's better. It's just more interesting, you know, because they've got all of this outside of the Lord kind of experiences that make for a good, you know, made for TV movie. And here's Lelia says, well, you know, I went to church and that's pretty much the story. You know, we go to church a lot, never not gone to church a lot. You know, go to youth group stuff a lot. Never not gone to youth group stuff a lot. That's my story. But a lot of us have that story. But it still doesn't mean that we weren't prisoners to something and God freed us. You see, it's one thing to grow up in the church or to be a longtime member of the church and. It's one thing to be that, but it's a whole other thing to think that I've never been freed from anything, because it doesn't matter if you are a preacher's kid or an elder's kid or, you know, the son or daughter of this person or that, is that we have to, if we're going to live like freed people, we have to understand that at some point in our life, God has either freed us or we're still in prison to sin. We have to know we're freed. Because the thing about prisoners, the thing about people who have been incarcerated, is that they know two things. They know, one, I was incarcerated and now I'm not. And two, I don't ever want to go back there. I mean, that's why career criminals will say, hey, they're going to have to kill me before I go back to prison. That's why you have all this violent stuff around. You know, they might not have gotten better while they were there, but once they get out, they know they're not going back. Can't take it for granted. We have to know we are free. Romans 6, 7 says that anyone who is in Christ has been freed from sin. Has been freed. That means that we're no longer slaves to the addiction of sin. We're no longer slaves to the option of sin. Sin is no longer our only option. And more important than that, see, I think that a lot of times when we say we're free from sin, we think, oh, we no longer, you know, we don't have to do those things. Well, yes and no. Yes and no. We no longer, when it says we're freed from sin, it is talking about we no longer have to do those things because we have this new nature. Before, you know, in 1 Corinthians, when it talks about those of us who are in Christ are new creations, and we have this new nature and we no longer have to sin. If you think about people who are outside of Christ, who don't have a relationship with the Lord, and you ask them, why do they act like that? You could say, well, they act like that because they have to. That's their nature. It's like, why does a fish swim? Well, it swims because it doesn't have any other choice underwater. We have to understand at a molecular soul level, there is a change of nature. And we're no longer bound by the nature of sin. But instead of dwelling on that, because I think for millennia we have dwelled on in the church that the do's and don'ts of sin, but deeper down in this and on a more new creation kind of level, when it says that we are freed from sin, we are freed from the consequence of our sin for eternity. And don't worry about it anymore. Because isn't that what binds us? Isn't that what scares us? Isn't that what he's talking about here in Galatians 5, he says, look, mark my words, I tell you that if any of you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you. He says, because what happens is that we're afraid that once we've, you know, that once we've murdered and we're a murderer and we go to jail for that and then we serve our time and we're let out, we think that at any moment they could come and arrest us again for the same crime. God says, I'm not doing that. And But the problem is that we feel like that's going to happen at any moment. And so we try to come up with all of these circumcisions, all of these laws, all of these rules, all of these customs and traditions and things that we think are pleasing that we can even read in Scripture that were pleasing or are or required or were or were mandatory or were not or were an option. And he says, look, if you think that you can do it on your own, Christ is of no value, and put the chains back on. So don't worry about it. Are you in Christ? You're free. Now, well, I'll get to that in a minute. But if you're in Christ, right? If I am in Christ, I am free. I am in Christ, I am free. I'm free. I no longer have to sin, and I no longer have to deal with the consequences of that. Eternally. And that's all that matters. Now, I'm not saying that because I'm freed in Christ, I can do whatever I want and no consequences. Guys, if you cheat on your wife, you might still get divorced. You're just not going to hell for it. That's what I'm saying. Big difference. Okay? Just don't take it. Don't go to the extreme and buy a lottery ticket on this. It's next thing. All right, we'll move on. How do we? Freed people know they're free. Freed people live with less guilt. You want to experience freedom? Refuse the guilt that Satan is offering. Refuse the weight. Refuse the chains, the restrictions, the guilt, all of those things. Do we still fall short of the glory of God? Yes. Does God want us to feel guilty of that? No. Because he says that we're given a clean conscience. You see, in Hebrews 10:22, draw near to God with sincere hearts and with full assurance of faith, sprinkled with water, with a clean conscience. With a clean conscience. When Jesus died on the cross, he broke the chain of sin forever. So we know that our sin, past, present, and future, are paid for. We can go before God with a clear conscience, not because of anything that I've done, not because of any righteousness of mine, but because of the righteousness and the faithfulness of Jesus Christ on the cross. I can look at God with my head held high, my face looking to Him, and know that I am His child, He is my God, with the full assurance of faith. The Bible tells me that. It says, look, draw near to God. See, freed people have less guilt. The problem is that we're freed people. Oh, we're murderers. We're adulterers. We're slanderers and gossips. We're greedy people. We're guilty, okay? We're murderers, all right. But the price has been paid. The sentence has been handed out and has been delivered. And no one, Dog the Bounty Hunter, is not coming for any of us. But we think He is. And so we live these guilty lives, always looking over our shoulders, always looking over other people's shoulders, because if their shoulders, if someone's looking for them, then they're not looking for me. And if I can point the finger at that person, then no one's looking at me. And so, but we live so guilty that it makes it unappealing. Nobody wants to live like us. No one wants to worship a God like ours who says one thing, but we live like He's doing another. It's for freedom that we've been set free. Romans 8:1, I love that passage. I love Romans 8:1. I love it so much that when my children are baptized, they get from me a little present that is a pendant and a cross. It goes on a necklace. And the cross obviously is for the cross of Christ. And the pendant has on it inscribed Romans 8:1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Because I want my children to live free. I want them to know that the Bible says that when you're in Christ, there is no condemnation. But with freedom comes a heightened sense of responsibility. Remember what I said at the beginning? We don't want to go back there. We don't want to go back. I'm out. I'm free. I'm living the good life. I'm living life. I'm enjoying it. I never want to go back there. And there's a responsibility to that. Romans 6 says, should we go on sinning so that grace may abound? Heaven, no, because grace doesn't abound when we go on sinning. The chains of sin, the chains of those consequences, the chains of that guilt come wrapping around us. The more that we engage in that activity, the more that our activity draws us, our hearts away from God, the more prone we are to be bound up again. So heaven forbid that. Heaven forbid that you would put yourself in a position where you would voluntarily put those chains back on. Avoid those. Avoid the opportunity. Avoid the chance of that. Isn't that why in the Psalms and in Proverbs it talks about all of those who would entice the righteous to do evil? You know why they're doing that? You know why? It's because they know, for one, that the righteous have this way of turning the grace of God into a meritorial system, which even further draws them from God. You know, in Proverbs, I think it's 13, where you've got the adulteress who is tempting the dullard away, and she says, come to my bed, I've got fresh frankincense or myrrh or whatever, and I've got all these, and I just went and I gave sin offerings. She said, look, I just went to the temple and I offered all these offerings and my sin bucket is empty. Come on, fill it up with me. Isn't that what happens? The more that we, you know, if we get addicted to or into this life of sin, then we think, well, okay, well, we've got to justify it. So in my mind, I'll do all this. Then I'll come over here to church and I'll feel real bad about it. And I'll give a little money or I'll give a little time or I'll do that. And then I'll feel good about myself. So then I can go back to my life of sin. He says, heavens, no, that's chains. That's prison. Be free from that. There's a heightened responsibility to stay out of that. The other thing is in Luke 10, I love the responsibility, the parable of the Good Samaritan. And there's so much to that title, the Good Samaritan, as though the rest of them are not so good. You know, that's like, that would be like, we have a parable about, you know, the good Mexican guy as opposed to all them other riffraffs. I mean, that's how they thought about it. That's why they named it that, the Good Samaritan. All of the people that passed by the guy beating them on the roadside, they're free to do what they want. And he says, the beautiful thing is I have a responsibility to my freedom. I have a responsibility to this freedom that I have to stop, to help, and then to pay for, to heal, to pay for, and then to come back and pay even more. You know why he did that? Because he was free to do that. He could do it if he wanted to. You can't stop me. I'm going to stop it. I'm going to get that person on the side of the road, and you can't not let me do that. I'm free. I'm free to give all of myself to something, all of my anything. I am freed from the sin of greed and free from the sin of all of those things. I'm free to stop, help, free to come back. The problem is that we feel bound to help, bound to heal, bound to come back. And you know why? Because we've created that. That's why we don't do it. That's why we don't do it. That's why, because it's a requirement to be nice. And so we think, well, that person, that could be a trap. I guarantee you that's what the priest and the Levite thought. Oh, well, I don't want to be unclean, but I bet that's a trap. And they did it to themselves. And what was he doing traveling on this road in the first place? And da 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 da. And don't we do that? In our bondage to righteousness, don't we do that to our bondage to our self-righteousness? We come up with every kind of excuse under the sun not to do something because we're not free from the consequence of our own sin. So God forbid anything happen to me and I fall into the hands of treacherous people and get killed because I don't want to fall into the hands of God because I'm not really freed from my sin. And when it's a restriction, when it's a requirement, we will come up with every kind of loophole in the world to get out of it. Am I right? I mean, thank you. We'll come up with every loophole in the world. There's laws against, can't get speeding. You have to go this speed limit. Well, but what if I'm in a hurry? Oh, well, I've got to be somewhere, and I really think that this speed is too... We'll come up with every loophole in the world. Less guilt brings more responsibility. Last thing, quickly, freed people live with less restriction. I mean, it's in the name, freedom, less restriction, right? We are less restricted. When you're in prison, then there are certain things that you can and can't do. When you are free, you can do whatever you want to do. When you're in prison, they tell you when to get up, when to go to bed. When you are free, you tell yourself when to get up and when to go to bed. You are told what to eat and when to eat it. When you are free, there are no restrictions on what you can eat and when you can eat it. It's all over Galatians 5. He says it's for freedom. It's for freedom that Christ has set us free. It's so that you will have fewer restrictions in your life that Christ has set you free. There's fewer restrictions. Romans, it's all over Romans. It's Romans is littered with the reality that, look, if you want to keep a certain day, then keep a certain day. If you don't want to, then don't. If you want to eat this, eat it. If you don't want to eat that, then don't. If food sacrificed to idols bothers you, then guess what? You're free not to eat it. If you're cool with food sacrificed to idols, then hey, eat it if you got it. Because you're free. And I'm not going to heaven because I never ate food sacrificed to idol. I'm going to heaven because Jesus died on the cross. End of story. I'm not going to heaven because I was at this one thing or I wasn't at that or I went to this place or I didn't or I've got an attendance record or whatever. I'm not going to heaven because of any of that. I'm going because Jesus died and He set me free. Well, although there's less restriction, there is more restraint. Freed people understand that to the glory of God, my freedom doesn't end, but it's restrained the common good of my brother or my sister. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 says, everything's permissible. Paul says that in Christ, everything's permissible. You can do whatever you want, but not everything's beneficial. Everything is okay. This day, that day, this meat, that meat, this kind of, it's fine. Relax. Don't feel guilty about it and don't be scared for your soul. It's fine. Just realize that we're all in this together. Everything's permissible, just not beneficial. You know, Paul wrote to Timothy about issues that were going on. And he put some restraints on certain things for the benefit of the group. Not because you're going to hell if you do it. It's just that it's not beneficial. It's just not beneficial. He said, look, you know, there is freedom in Christ. Galatians, there in Christ there is no woman, no man, no Jew, no Greek, no whatever. He goes on and says, we're all the same. And then so we have this new freedom and we couldn't really restrain it on our own. And people were saying, what in the world is going on? And it's more detrimental to than it is good. And so he said, look, I understand, ladies, that in Christ you've got all this freedom. But right now in our culture, you need to restrain it for the good of the group. Says, I know slaves in Christ, you are free. And so instead of having this runaway slave situation and people saying that, well, my master is a Christian and I'm a Christian. And so now I'm no longer his slave and he's duty bound to forgive me of running away. He says, look, slaves, stay with your masters. Masters, treat them good. Restrain your freedom for the greater good. Do we want to go back to that? I've got some guys that I've asked to do some help for me. If they who have been asked will get up and grab those baskets, I've got something for you to take home today. And I want you to keep this until next July 4th. And we'll talk about it some more then. But this week I took a long, I think about 60-foot chain. And I cut it into these pieces right here because that can't restrain anybody, can it? That can't bind anybody. And what this is going to represent, go ahead and just pass them out to everybody. I hope I've got enough. There should be 120 pieces in there. It took me a long time to do this. A lot of thought went into it. There's these little pieces of chain. Make sure that everybody gets one. And when you hold it in your hand, I want it to represent the bondage of sin and the bondage of our spiritual misrepresentation of what it is that Christ has done for us. And I want you to think about whenever you see this little piece of chain that cannot bind you any longer, think, I am free. I'm free. I'm free from death. I will be with God forever in heaven because I'm free. I will worship God in my heart and in my mouth and in my actions, and I will worship Him on Sunday and Monday. I will help people on the side of the road because I am free. And I can no longer be bound again. Put this on your keychain. Tie it around the mirror of your car. Whatever you can do for 1 year. 1 year to hold on to this little insignificant piece of chain. And when somebody asks you, hey, what's that piece of chain? You can tell them, that piece of chain reminds me that I am free. I'm going to be with God forever. Yeah, but Shane, I know what you've done. I'm free. I know I've done and I've been, but I am free. I will be no longer bound by that sin, no longer have to act a certain way because of my sin nature, and I no longer fear the face of God. I am free. Glory to Him. We hold on to this. It might be, well, goodness gracious, this doesn't mean anything. It can. It can. It just might. It means you're free. This morning, do you want to be told you're free, or do you want really, really, really to be free? Do you want to just listen about the salvation of God, or do you want to experience it? Do you want to hear about Jesus, or do you want to confess Him as your Lord and your Savior? to be baptized into His holy and eternal forgiveness. You want to be free. The choice is yours together as we stand and as we sing.